This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I want to thank everybody for spending some of their Saturday or Sunday, depending on when this show airs or when you listen to it on our website or on our podcast, over this weekend and listening to what we have to say on precious metals as well as commodities. We're going to be focusing on the general commodity sector. There has been a general pullback, which has started to change some commentators and investors' minds on this whole reflation attitude. For the first two segments, I am joined by our good friend Dan Oliver, founder of Mermican Capital, based out of New York. And Dan, let's get right into it and talk about this general pullback that we have seen in commodities, almost a rollover when you look at the CRB, starting at the beginning of 2017. But one thing that I want to discuss with you is the history behind what we might be seeing, because as much as we like to talk about day-to-day moves, you very much are a go-to guy for me to relate what we might be seeing now to what happened in the past. So Dan, as a general comment, this commodities collapse, let's call it, at least a temporary one that we're seeing, what does this remind you of in history?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Commodities are very interesting because over the short term, the supply is pretty inflexible. So it really tells you what's happening to the short-term demand to what it forms the beginning of every single production chain in the economy. So when commodities collapse, it's a good signal that end demand is collapsing, or corporations are squeezed, or something untoward is happening in the economy. And the analogy I made 2 years ago when the big commodity collapse occurred in the summer of 2015 was, if you look all the way back to 1928, the Fed had been keeping rates low to keep goods prices from falling. They kept lowering rates and doing quantitative easing in the 20s to keep the price of commodities from falling. And what happened was all that money went into the stock market. The stock market went shooting higher. And the power of the Federal Reserve changed. Benjamin Strong had a stroke and someone else took over. And they looked at the stock market. This is crazy. So they started raising rates in early 1928. And for a year and a half, the Fed kept raising rates, and the whole time the stock market kept roaring higher. And again, I think this is a very good analogy for what we're living through, where the Fed's raising rates the past year and a half, or a year and a quarter anyway, and the market's going crazy. In the summer of 1929, 3 months before the big market collapse, or 4 months, commodities all of a sudden started to collapse. And they started to collapse because the high interest rates were impacting the consumer, which was over-levered, and also all the corporations, which were over-levered. So that the end demand for stuff started slowing down, but the stock market kept growing higher. And so the Fed kept raising rates because their whole focus was on the stock markets. And their last rate increase was September 1929. And within 2 months, the market was 40% lower. So as the whole economy kind of froze to a halt under these high interest rates. And again, I think the analogy is a very good one in that we have in our economy today, just the level of debt is the highest, I think, in history. And so as the Fed dials up rates, everybody's getting squeezed. Now, you don't cancel all your purchase the first day, but when you have student loans and credit card loans and housing loans and car loans, all those loans start to become more expensive. And even if you have a fixed rate, it means someone else took the floating rate through a derivative. So someone's getting squeezed. And so here they are dialing up rates, and here we have another big commodity collapse, and the market's still going higher, ignoring it, which again is exactly what happened in 1929. And I think the resolution will be the same. I predicted this happening 2 years ago, and it didn't. Commodities collapsed and stabilized. And I think part of the reason is that the locus of the credit bubble today globally is China. And they built all these ghost cities. Huge percentages of these commodities go to China. And the Chinese dumped a massive amount of credit into their system, kind of what the Fed didn't do in 1929 that all modern economists says that they should have done. So they dumped all this credit, and China recovered the economy kind of recovered. They kept building ghost cities and buildings that have nobody in them, and, you know, tertiary ring roads around secondary cities and all those things that have no, that create assets without any cash flow. And so now we have a situation where the Chinese are once again trying to hop off this inflationary tiger they're riding. And we see commodity prices rolling over in the context of rising rates in the U.S. So, you know, is this the time that, that it really blows over, or do they dump more credit in? It's possible. It's hard to tell ahead of time. But one thing we do know is that it's not just a monetary phenomenon, that China just can't keep print money forever. And the reason is because all these interest rates, all these malinvestments have real implications in the economy. People are building overcapacity, and I see it in New York City. You know, I mean, everywhere you look, there are cranes everywhere building buildings, even though rents are falling residentially. They're still building them. At some point, it just doesn't work. You put all your wealth into these pyramids, essentially, that have no cash flow, and then the whole system comes tumbling down. I think that we were nearing that position 2 years ago in 2015. I think we're closer to it now because there are that many more malinvestments and the imbalances are that much bigger. And with the Fed raising rates pretty aggressively now, I think it can't be long until the whole system cracks.
So by the whole system cracking here, Dan, are you saying that the commodities will almost lead everything down? We might even be seeing that now, where the commodities get hit first, then the markets follow, and then that enables the commodities to find a base and get more of a buy and then come off of an even lower bottom?
Well, I think that's right. And in fact, it's not just 29. If you go back in the 19th century, every time the Bank of England raised rates, and they raised rates to respond to gold leaving their reserves. When people started withdrawing gold, the Bank of England would raise rates to preserve their gold, you know, make it more enticing to keep gold there. And within a few months or several months, you'd see developing markets and then England itself roll over and crash in the U.S. too, because the Bank of England was the same with global finance. And the same thing's happened in this century of the Federal Reserve. Every time they raise rates, there's a lag time to be sure, but at some point the economy rolls over. So what's different this time from the previous times is not the nature of the thing, but just the scale of it. It's so enormous. And I think at some point, you know, you get these cascading defaults, which started to happen in 2008, where, you know, the Fed lowers rates to zero. It doesn't matter. Everyone needs to be paid, and there's too much credit out there, and everyone's, calling their loans to each other. In 1907, J.P. Morgan famously put all the bankers in a room, locked them in his library, and said, "No one leaves until you all agree not to call your loans to each other." And it worked. Bernanke did effectively the same thing in 2008, where he got rid of mark-to-market accounting, and they guarantee something like $7 trillion of assets. It wasn't the QE, it was the guarantees that stopped the panic. But the scale of this one will be that much bigger. And, of course, recall, too, that in 2008, gold got hit along with the commodity sector and everything else initially. But the second that bank systems started teetering, gold caught a big bid. And, again, I wouldn't be surprised if the same thing happens. A lot of the hedge funds and trading desks that own these commodities also own gold because they just look at it as one more commodity. And so we're seeing the gold sell-off in sympathy with the commodity sell-off. But if you look at the gold-to-commodity ratio, it's actually stable to rising. And again, that shows you that usually when that happens, when credit is leaving the system, gold hates credit bubbles. It loves the collapse of credit bubble, at least in real terms. And so you see that happening, just the beginning of it happening now. So I think that's where we're headed, and I don't think it'll be long.
Well, so much of the commentary around gold, again, does focus on inflation or deflation. What are we going through right now? And general commodities have a big role in some of those metrics. And that's what we were seeing at the beginning of this year, was maybe more people thinking that inflation would be coming back and there would be some infrastructure spending. And now we're seeing not a whole lot happen on the political front. And again, this weakness in China plays such a huge role in a lot of these commodities, because China is such a huge market for what they do and their massive overcapacity. But again, something we'll talk about next segment here, Dan, is this kind of inflation debate and why some of the gold bugs have been so wrong when they pointed to the Fed creating or so-called printing all this money and inflation having to be around the corner. That just did not happen, and that's something that we're going to talk about next segment. So everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears because there's an alternative to bankruptcy and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with Dan Oliver. And Dan, as I wrapped up the last segment, talking about this inflation debate and maybe why so many people had it wrong when they pointed to the Fed creating all this money, or so-called money, and inflation inevitably having to pick up almost tomorrow. The fact of the matter is we are still stuck in a slow or low inflation environment, and the Fed just can't seem to spark that. No central bank can spark that. But you look at it a different way. You understand why we haven't seen inflation while the Fed has been printing money, or central banks have been printing money around the world.
Yeah, well, I think you've got to distinguish between inflation, which historically meant a credit inflation, i.e. an increase in money and credit, and monetary debasement, which is when the currency actually devalues. I was on a panel last week with a fellow who said, you know, from a big institution, they got involved in the gold trade when the Fed started printing money in 2009, and they thought that would make every dollar worth less because they're printing more of it. And that's just not how it works. The Fed doesn't print money out of a machine and drop in helicopters. They may do that at some point, but that's not what they're doing now. What they do now is they print basically banking reserves, and they give it to the banks, and the banks then take these reserves and they go lend it into the economy. And that's what they were forced to do by all these Fed programs, into real estate, into corporations, all these things. And so what happens is you get asset inflation, where all the assets that the banks finance go way, way up in price, and the interest rate goes down, and that encourages all kinds of long-term malinvestments. And in that part of the credit boom, gold doesn't participate because it doesn't have any cash flows. It's not the main industry, so it doesn't respond to this lending of money to assets by the banks. And so you can trace this through history for hundreds of years of data, and even longer than that anecdotally. So this is why gold always underperforms commodities in a credit boom. So it's not a good idea to be buying gold when the Fed starts, you know, printing quote unquote money to give it to the banks. But then, of course, what happens is all these malinvestments don't produce cash flow because they create overcapacity in the heavy industry part of the economy, and then the companies can't pay their bank debt back, the bank blows up, and then you get economic crisis. And then again, all these assets come tumbling down in price and further than they were when they started because of all overcapacity. And again, gold is relatively unaffected by this process. So then on a relative term, it goes higher. And this is important for gold investors because this process, which is the real credit, you know, slash business cycle, really helps define the profitability of gold mining. Because all gold mine really is a spread trade between industrial commodities, which are your costs, oil, steel, labor that competes with base metal mines and et cetera, and your output's gold. And so when those costs go up in terms of gold in a credit boom, gold mining is a terrible, terrible business to be in. And then when the bust comes and all those commodities collapse, then gold mining is a fantastic business to be in. So, you know, we've seen that several times this decade, and that's how it works on a real basis. How gold trades in terms of dollars is a very different matter, but how it trades in terms of commodities is pretty simple. It just has to do with the level of credit in the economy.
That's an interesting theory, too, and a way to look at gold is not necessarily relating it to, let's say, equities or the dollar, even though we can talk about that, but relating it to other commodities. And what it sounds like you're saying, Dan, is that if maybe the central banks continue down this road of tightening, whether they do it aggressively or slowly, which they're doing now, that this could actually be almost the end of this cycle and cause a collapse, obviously, that they're trying to stop, but that would be good for gold after that initial washout phase.
Yeah, it'd be great for gold in real terms. And the problem you run into is a lot of mining companies, all producing mining companies, have debt in nominal terms. And so even when gold goes up in real terms, if it goes down in nominal terms the way it did in 2008, then gold companies get squeezed because they can't pay their debts back. And one way you can avoid that is when you're up in Canada or you're in Australia, those currencies are very influenced by the value of what the base commodities are doing. So in those cases, the nominal debt disappears too because those currencies weaken so much. And especially in Canada now, you know, I learned this only recently from a book on banking reform that came out a couple of years ago. But the Canadian banks, apparently, Corey, you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but apparently they were prohibited from getting involved in the mortgage market until fairly recently. The federal government subsidized housing, but the banks really weren't allowed to use depositors' money to go invested in mortgages. And that meant that Canada really hasn't had a big credit bubble, a big housing bubble, I think, in its history. And those rules all changed in the 90s, where now Canadian banks can lend against stocks and lend against mortgages and all so and so forth. So now you have a huge, huge bubble in Vancouver and Toronto, driven in part by the Chinese flow of funds into those markets, but also by these banks that have been unleashed. And it looks like to me that that's rolling over. You've had some prominent failure in the Canadian banking housing sector, finance sector last week. And if that's the case, I think you're going to find the Canadian currency really get hit, and that'll be fantastic for Canadian gold miners because, again, their debt levels will be magically reduced by a falling currency. So it's a tricky analysis when looking at the miners. But yes, the currency side of it is very different than the commodity side.
Well, you do bring up some good points for Canadians and the Canadian banks because you're right, the government had almost guaranteed and was the, I believe, main or only player in the mortgage market, and that's why a lot of people said that it weathered the storm a little bit better than what we saw in the U.S. But from what I understand and from some of my friends that work in banking, it sounds like a very different game up here than what it is down in the U.S., the way that the Canadian banks make their money. But hey, their stocks still have performed okay, but we all know that can just be a short-term kind of high that people can be on. Dan, to kind of wrap us up here, you did mention how the currencies play a role in this, and I believe they also play a role in a lot of investors' mentality too, because even the Canadian dollar, which has been getting hit very hard, when you compare currencies to gold, really, besides pricing gold in U.S. dollars, you price it in any other currency, and you look at the chart, it's a very different chart, and gold has done actually pretty well.
Yeah, well, the reason for that is pretty simple, and that is that the U.S. dollar is about $4 trillion of base money, and there's about $90 trillion denominated in U.S. dollars. So there's a huge source squeeze on dollars, and when they raise interest rates, the first level effect is to increase the amount of dollars you got to hold to pay your debts, and they're enormous. And so that's why increasing the rates tend to depress gold and U.S. dollars at first. But the longer-term, more powerful effect is that, you know, the U.S. dollar now is defined as a unit of liability of the Federal Reserve, and so you're like, well, what does the Fed hold as assets? And they hold very long-term bonds now, and rising rates destroys the value of a long-term bond. And so the long-term effect of rising rates, as it was in the 70s, will be a sharply lower dollar and a sharply higher gold price in dollar terms.
And maybe that's what we have to look forward to as we, who knows how long this will take, but it has been quite the grind down for gold and an interesting year and a half now since we turned the corner at the tail end of 2015. But a lot of different factors at play, and I really do appreciate you taking some time and looking at the commodities complex with us here, Dan, because a lot of people maybe just haven't taken it in a big picture sense. They look too much day-to-day without understanding what is driving these moves. And there's a lot at play here, not just in the U.S., but, again, a lot in China. Dan, it's been a pleasure chatting with you for the first two segments. Everybody, stick around. I'm going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation Analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, my name is Lee, and for 10 years I've suffered from ulcerative colitis. I've taken prednisone, ibuprofen, and many other prescription drugs and never saw any improvement. I tried salmon oils and flaxseed oils, but only burped them up, and they did not seem to help. Then I learned from an acquaintance who healed her rheumatoid arthritis by using Andreas seed oils. I was so inspired to try them, I began taking Andreas flaxseed, 5-seed blend, black cumin, and coriander seed oils. In 5 months, the swelling in my hands was so reduced, I was able to see my knuckles for the first time in 5 years. I've been off all medications for 13 months, and by using only Andreas seed oils, my colitis is controlled, and the arthritis pain in my knees is also reduced, and my inflammation is zero, and so many other benefits.
A patent-pending process has been developed which results in seed oils that have virtually zero oxidation and are structurally intact. Now, the full healing power of seed oils is available to you via the Andreas seed oils. Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition and joined again by one of my favorite guests, Chris Martinson, co-founder, co-editor of Peak Prosperity. For anybody who missed our daily editorial on Friday, I highly recommend listening to that. We chatted about central bank policy from central banks around the world and how the central banks continue to play a large role in the markets, but what their changing narrative might mean for the markets. And Chris made a very good point. Look at their actions, not at what they say, and then make your decisions. Chris, in this segment, we're going to talk China because China is going through almost another deleveraging period. They're trying to rein in some of this bad credit. And we have seen China do this before where they've almost tried to have some controlled implosions in certain sectors. But right now, the Chinese market getting hit pretty hard, and we just don't really know what's going to come out of China. But as an initial comment, what do you think about this current deleveraging that China is trying to go through?
Well, they're trying very carefully, Corey, to do what they can to rein it in, as you say. They've had the most explosive rise in credit. It's just been an absolutely astonishing high double-digit increase in credit by percentages. That's something that, listen, you know, this happens to anybody, any culture. Of course, when you have way too much credit flooding the markets, you get some bad decisions. Some bad things get done, and there's a little bit of fraud and a little bit of terrible decision-making and standard bubble dynamics when there's just credit everywhere. You know, sometimes you pay too much for an apartment building or an import business. That happens. You know, when it happens in the Chinese culture, of course, they are very, very heavily great business people, but they got a little of that speculator in them as well. So we've seen a lot of very speculative behaviors going on in some markets. And so one of the first things that I detected when we saw them start to reel in credit just a little bit was nipping the edge of the speculative bubbles, in particular in commodities. April saw some really sharp falls in the imports of crude oil, iron ore, copper, all of those things, you know, very these commodity sensitive sectors, then maybe we have to look at too. That would be construction, manufacturing. If we see those lose momentum, now we've got a story here, which is, as you know, when credit goes up, everything's fun. And when credit starts to go in reverse and that picks up steam, that's not fun. And so, again, China's been through several of these near misses and always pulled out like a skater who doesn't know how to fall. Someday, you know, we will see, I think, a big pullback in Chinese activity economically to account for this huge bubble that they've got.
Well, Chris, I think a lot of people that follow the commodities know how big of a player China can be when they're going through some of these massive build-outs of either real cities or ghost cities, but they have been big drivers behind a lot of commodities. One other aspect that we've been getting a lot of comments on our blog, and understandably so, because this, whatever you want to call it, is going up quite drastically, and that's cryptocurrencies, dealing with Bitcoin. Do you think China's playing a large role in this, with people trying to get their money out of the system there?
You know, I don't know in this last week because I haven't checked the numbers, but in prior weeks, China was absolutely the dominant player. You could track a very interesting website called Fiat Leak, I can't remember if that's .org or .com, but Fiat Leak, and it shows you where the purchases and sales are being made. And for months, I was just watching this steady stream of Bitcoin icons just flying into China. So clearly they were a big, big player there, and that makes a lot of sense. So what's driving this last little spike? I don't know because I haven't really looked into it because it feels a lot like a parabolic spike. I'm always cautious about those.
Well, that's Fiat Leak is fiatleak.com, and it's actually quite an entertaining website where you see these little Bitcoin logos going to different countries. But Chris, again, if we look at China and their whole plan of this one belt, one road that a lot of these commodity bulls have pointed to, is this in question for you, or do you think that China will just go ahead with it whether their economy is doing well or not?
China's really got a pretty big set of issues they're going to have to deal with. And again, you know, as we alluded to with these high double digit credit increases, that creates a lot of opportunity, creates a lot of money. They've been doing a fantastic job on becoming the world's chief exporter. That creates a lot of wealth as well, but they know they've got to manage this downturn. And as the people of China start to feel into that, you know, they're going to try to, like anybody would, have their assets diversified around the world. So, you know, of course, Chinese demand for Vancouver, Toronto real estate, you know, Northern California real estate, for Bitcoin, you name it. These are representations of people from China looking to spread their wealth, diversify out of China a little bit. And there are massive amounts of money in China being made, partly through speculation, but mostly through manufacturing. But again, we've been through such a huge expansion of that, this so-called worldwide recovery, very weak but very long-lasting, and we know we're due for a pullback at some point. I think China's very exposed to any pullback that might come.
What type of contagion effect are you worried about or do you see happening when this pullback in China comes due to whatever monetary policies they decide to enact?
Well, it's hard to know because, you know, China clearly is going to have to at some point, stem the leaking of money out of their country. So, you know, a pullback would normally lead to uncertain conditions that might accelerate the pace at which people want to get their money out and diversify it out. that pressure, the Bank of China is going to have to decide what they're going to do about that. The People's Bank might decide to let it happen, or they might decide they're going to have to put capital controls in some way to stem it, because the only way the People's Bank of China can control the relative value of their currency is by buying and selling their currency against other units, specifically the dollar and the euro, mostly. So whether or not the Bank of China feels like they've got enough ammunition to fight the flood if it's leaving will set the bar for whether or not they let it happen or they have to impose some capital controls. I think the Bitcoin run-up is telling us that people are worried about that capital control idea as a possibility.
Yeah, there's just so much that China does in the markets because they are, well, a very, very large economy, and their credit growth has just exploded. Everybody talks about how bad debt is in the U.S., but you look at China, and it's mind-boggling. It dwarfs what the U.S. has in terms of debt. So, again, it's just such a big player, and overall, do you follow China closely, Chris? Do you feel like you almost have to be aware of what's going on there?
Oh, absolutely. And, you follow the data as best you can. That's what I do. I'll be over there in July, and I'll get to take a peek around. But it's absolutely a fantastic country with, I think really great leadership. And they've gotten themselves into, I think, a pretty ordinary trap, which is easy to get into, hard to get out of, which is what do you do when you've really allowed a super large credit bubble to emerge. And I have to track that, because if that credit bubble picks up steam and really goes in reverse, China's demand for all the base commodities and resources that really I track very closely, those two will get hit very hard. So that's going to have enormous implications for mining sector, import-export businesses all over the place, oil, you name it. It's really going to hit a lot of things. So again, China has tools at its disposal, though, that other countries don't. So you can't always just, get your ruler out and mark a time on the calendar, by extrapolating. So never count them out, but it's really gotten pretty extreme. So bears watching.
China very much is one of those anomalies in the market where you just don't know what they're going to do. And quite frankly, as much as people say that they don't trust the data that comes out of the U.S., I think trusting the data that comes out of China, that's even worse data. So who really knows what you're getting from them? But again, Chris, as you mentioned, if you're a commodities tracker or a commodities investor, China plays such a big role that you do have to be aware of what they're doing and what their current economy is going through. And right now, it's on a bit of a downturn. Is the central bank over there going to do anything? Are they even going to be able to save it? Probably, but who knows what they're going to have to do to make that happen. Chris, it's always great chatting with you. And again, everybody, I highly recommend checking out Chris's website, peakprosperity.com. Thanks for your time, Chris. Everybody, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Dana Lyons.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? Did you know that on average a household with at least one credit card struggles with over $10,000 in credit card debt? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates and low minimum payments. Before you know it, you're in over your head. We've helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset program that will dramatically reduce your debt down to a fraction of what you owe. Our Debt Reset program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. If you owe over $10,000 in credit card debt or even personal loans, call 800-912-6177. There are no upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how the Debt Reset Program can work for you. 800-912-6177. That's 800-912-6177. Again, 800-912-6177.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am joined by Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. He also runs a couple different websites, one of which, the LionsharePro.com. You can just visit www.lionsharepro.com. I'll also have a link below this interview. Dana is offering a special discount right now for our listeners as well as other people who check out that website. So I highly recommend visiting that website and considering to sign up. So that being said, Dana, I quickly want to start off by talking about the precious metal. Silver, 16 straight days down in a row. We did start to see some of these COT positions, at least for some of the smart money, the commercial traders, come off of their net short positions, but they are still fairly significantly net short. And same with gold. We're actually seeing some of the smart traders move back into a greater net short position. As a general comment right now, Dana, precious metals, how do you feel about them?
First of all, thanks for the intro. I appreciate that, Corey. As far as precious metals go, it's basically the same story it's been for us for the last 6-8 months. We're kind of in this trading range where, you know, it's kind of dangerous to be playing for any big type of moves, either breakouts or breakdowns. We've basically been in a trading range, which doesn't look to end anytime soon necessarily. You did touch on the key point, which we posted back in mid-April on the commitment of traders positions in silver futures, which we indicated that the smart money hedgers had moved to a record net short position in silver futures. And at the time, we're in the midst of a decent rally in silver, but still making the lower highs. So, like I said, it's a dangerous type of market. A range-bound market is a dangerous market to try to play for big moves, because you run into a price resistance either on the upside or on the downside. You get support when you're making higher lows. But when we did see that record net short position in the the commercial hedgers, that was a potential headwind for silver prices if they turn around. And once they did turn, like you said, it's been just a momentum move like we haven't seen. So that that potential headwind turned into a headwind when the speculators started racing out the door and chasing each other out the door in silver futures. So it's been, what I think you said, 16 down days in a row in silver. So that's the type of headwind that you can see when you have extremes in the COT positioning like that. So those extremes can always move to greater extremes, but when prices reverse, that's when it gets dangerous.
Well, what I found interesting, Dana, is when we were talking off mic, you said that, quite frankly, you've put the precious metals kind of on the back burner. And I said, that, I think, seems to be what a lot of traders and investors have done recently during this downtrend and even throughout this year. Less and less interest has been maybe focused on the precious metals. I think people are still watching them, but until we get any sort of sustainable breakout, maybe they will continue to be, in a sense, unloved. But one sector that is getting a lot of attention are international equities. Some of the stats that I've been seeing with funds flowing into European ETFs. We've seen the fastest rate since April 2015 with $1.4 billion in the past week, $2.6 billion in the past 2 weeks, and $3.6 billion in the trailing month of money that has flown into these European ETFs. It seems to be, you could say, the flavor of the month, maybe even the flavor of the last couple of months, is money leaving U.S. equities and moving into international markets.
Yeah, it's been kind of staggering. Maybe in the near term, it's perhaps a little too hot. But from a long-term perspective, you got to remember that Europe, especially international markets in general, but Europe specifically, has been a laggard since the top in 2007. So it's got a lot of catch-up to play versus the U.S. on a relative basis. So if it wants to make a major reversal and move back up in a durable fashion, either on a relative or absolute basis, it's got a lot of room to move up. We've seen, from a ratio perspective, we've seen, for example, the EFA, which is a index of all the developed countries around the world, ex the U.S., we've seen a reversal in that 10-year downtrend versus the U.S., so that looks to be possibly reversing up to a major uptrend on a relative basis versus the U.S. Europe hasn't quite gotten there yet, but it's in transition right now and has the potential to move up versus the U.S. like the EFA. And on an absolute basis, we've gotten these inflows into the ETFs, but prices, from a price perspective, the price developments would support some of this, these inflows with, you got Germany moving to all-time highs, Northern European markets across the board moving to 52 or all-time highs. You have France breaking a 17-year downtrend. And you have even the pigs, even the lowest of the low, have been making significant moves to the upside. You know, Greece and Portugal were plumbing, you know, basically all-time lows for a year or so or 2 years, and those have been moving up quickly. So you have, you know, positive developments internationally across the gamut. I haven't even gotten into Asia, but you have emerging Asia and India and potentially Russia, all matters of international markets making key price moves right now or recently. So whereas the U.S. market's a little bit, the bull market's a little bit long in the tooth, you have a lot of bright spots around the globe that make, you know, on a relative basis, make the international flow to the international markets an enticing move right now versus the U.S.
Now, Dana, how do you play this move, or how do you at least stay on trend when we see such a big shift in money flows out of the U.S. and into international equities? One final point that I can bring up from TrimTabs is that global equity funds get $12.1 billion just in May, while U.S. equity funds lose $13 billion. But yet we haven't seen any sort of a significant sell-off at all in the U.S. markets. How do you? What are you doing then?
Well, I think at the end of the day, we rely on prices. So, you know, there are certainly areas in the U.S. market that we still like, that we're still invested in to a significant extent. Even the major indices, I mean, they're basically sitting at all-time highs. So it's not that we're getting out of all of our domestic long positions and into the international. It's more like, you know, whereas it's basically been an all U.S. or nothing play for the last several years, now we have more options globally than just the U.S. sectors or the U.S. Segments of the market. So it's basically it's a win-win situation. You have more options now to choose from. So it's not for us an either or, but it's, you know, what's the most attractive, whereas it used to be that the U.S. is the cleanest dirty shirt. Now we have a lot of, you know, pretty clean looking shirts around the world right now, at least from a price perspective. So it's a good situation for investors right now, at least in the intermediate term.
So Dana, is this a sustainable trend? Do you think we're going to continue to see money flow in and support these international markets?
Well, like I said, it's been such a long-term downtrend on an absolute basis, but especially on a relative basis, the international underperformance. So it's got a lot of room to the upside if it wants to make a long-term move. So it certainly has could have a lot of legs to this move.
All right. Well, one final comment is that as much as we're saying international equities are getting a buy, let's not forget about China, because China is actually feeling the opposite effects of this, because they're going through potentially a bit of a deleveraging and their market is getting hit. But that's another topic for another time. And Dana, it's interesting to see these fund flows out of the U.S. because, as you mentioned, the U.S. was looked at as the cleanest dirty shirt. Now there are some other dirty shirts that I guess are looking and maybe smelling a little cleaner. Dana, as always, buddy, thanks for your time. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.